for that where we are still. Be still, the Lord says, and know that I am God. But primarily, you grow through movement. Are you hearing me here tonight? And so here, he's ready for him to move. So what you will see in verse 4 is, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. How would you like to begin your ministry at the age of 75? Now, a few of you are approaching that. A few of us have a few more years before we get there. But how would you like to start at 75? This is when God called the father of faith. And he departed, going to a place, and he did not know exactly where he was going. Now, modern day, if you would tell people that the Lord has called me to leave my country, where are you going? Not sure yet. But all I know is that he's called me to go. And I think part of the reason that I've lived in this passage for the last 6 months or so is because the season in my life is dictating reconsideration of this. Because when we went to Cape Coral a little bit more than 31 years ago, we knew where Cape Coral was. But I'm not certain necessarily where the route goes to completely from here. All I know is that if God says go, you go. And you ask the questions later, and usually he'll give you the information that you need as you need to know it. And not before, but what he's looking for is just obedience to the first thing that he asks you to do. Now, something that I want to redeem in our understanding is we are so governed in the concept of walking by faith and not by sight, correct? But generally what the Lord is looking for really is obedience. Yeah. See, come on, let's walk back to the beginning. Adam was not called to walk in faith. He was called to walk in obedience. See, the Lord spoke to him. He said, every tree in this garden here, this setting that I placed you in, these trees are good, but there's only one that's off limits. And that is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is in the midst of the garden. He said, now, the day that you eat of this, you will surely die. That means in dying, you will die. It's a progressive, slow death. One restraint, only one restraint that he gave him. But everything else he could freely partake of if he chose to do that. And so what he had to walk in at that point then was obedience. Obedience. Because he had a clear, direct command from God. Not a suggestion, not an insinuation, not if you feel led. It was a direct command from God, which requires obedience. And oftentimes when the Lord speaks to covenantal people, that is how he speaks to them. If you're willing and obedient, then you will eat the good of the land, all right? But if you refuse and rebel, then what happens? Tell somebody you accept the consequences of your decision. Huh? There's always consequences. Now, I want to read one other passage here in Exodus chapter 19, verse 3 to 6, because I want to try to give this a frame tonight, and then I'll build on this on Sunday. The children of Israel, at the sands of the seashore, Abraham's natural children from his descendants, Isaac and Jacob and their sons, they've now become a great nation. The very thing that God said to him, he said, I'll make a great nation out of you. And at this point, this great nation would consist of his biological descendants. So they're out of Egypt now after being there for 430 years. And they really don't know who they are. They're not clear about who they are. They're just happy not to be Pharaoh's bondmen anymore. They're happy not to be building bricks out of mortar and having those demands on their lives to produce. They're producing great wealth, massive wealth, and it's not really benefiting them. And that's really the reality of the life of a slave. You're producing, but it's not really benefiting you the way that God intends for it to benefit you. Okay? And so they've had a long journey there. We know that Jacob took his family there when they entered, with Joseph already being there. They were 70. And now they are a great multitude. And it is time for them to come out. So God sends them a deliverer. His name is Moses. Come on, we know the story. He prepared Moses for this assignment for 40 years. The first 40 years of his life, when he thought he was ready, he wasn't ready. And I think most of us remember Apostle Sanders telling us we're not quite there yet. So we know well about that message. When you think you're ready, you're not quite there. All right. So nevertheless, the first 40 years when he attempted to become a deliverer by the arm of the flesh, he was not going to deliver anybody by the arm of the flesh. So it took God literally 40 years to deprogram him. The next one-third of his life was a deprogramming. God taking Moses out of Moses.
That's right. That's right.
And I'm telling you that when you're considering this, that God has to deliver you from you in order to deliver people through you. How long is it going to take? It depends on you. Huh? It depends exactly on you as an individual. Are you a compliant son or are you a rebellious son? And I remember years ago my mother saying that a hard head makes a soft behind. I don't know if she got that from God or who she got it from, but I know that she was extremely skillful in administrating that particular vision. But we know that the man Moses, that it took 40 years. And the number 40 is a very significant number in that it speaks to us of probation. Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. Mm-hmm. Moses had two seasons once he came out of Egypt with the people of 40 days with the Lord. And this time it wasn't necessarily for further discipline, but it was to impart something into his life that he was to give to the people. But we know that when his season of preparation was over, that God awakened him through the miraculous. Yeah. Anytime that you see here a tree on fire and it's not being consumed, come on, that's a miracle. And all the Lord is doing is waiting for you to turn aside to look at the spectacle. And then what appears to be a spectacle that has no ability to speak, it's an inanimate object. What God does is give that thing a voice. And so what you have here is that the vision becomes a voice. And the voice requires of us obedience. He said, Moses said, now I'll turn aside. And when he turned aside, God said, all right, I got him exactly where I want him. Yeah. Now I can talk to him.
Yes.
And he began to talk to him about what his assignment was. He was to go to Pharaoh, and he said, you're not to go as some chump. How many of you understand Ebonics when I say chump? He was not to go as some chump. God said, I'm sending you. And when Pharaoh, when he receives you, he's not really going to receive you. But when you come in his presence, he said, I'll make you as a God to him.
That's right. Yes, right.
Now, that's what the book says. Not Steve. That's what the book says. He says, Aaron will be your prophet, but you'll be like a God to him. And what he was telling him is that you're going to walk in a measure of authority that you've never been in your life before. It's required in the assignment, because what I've got to do is deliver the people by a strong hand, and I don't need a weak man doing this. Now, because he hadn't even circumcised his sons, and I got a suspicion why he hadn't circumcised his sons. You know, when you look at what Mama said, and when he circumcised his sons, that he's a bloody man. Well, a covenant man is a bloody man. Come on, you can't have a covenant without the shedding of blood. And so he circumcised his sons, And then, because God met him, now imagine this. God has dealt with you for 40 years. He's now released.